are respected or not.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Not only the rights of the animals and the environment, rather everything, every creature is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to the verse of Noah al-Quran, we have وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Whatever you see on the face of this universe, I mean all creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are glorifying and are mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
So everything is respected according to the view of Islam. When we come to the animal or environment, you see the great emphasis, as my dear brother mentioned, on the, you know, respecting the animals, respecting the environment, and not to demolish it, not to hurt it, and not to cause any problem for that. For example, in the verses of Noble Quran, we have وَالْعَنَامَ خَلَقَهَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعُ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ.
Yes.
According to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He created the cattle in which there is warmth for you and other uses.
Yes.
You know, a lot of benefit it has for you, and some of them you eat. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course it's, you know, continues talking about the benefits of the animals and the cattle.
Yes.
For example, He said that وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ هِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَهِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ. Very beautifully mentioned.
Yes.
And I don't know, have you ever experienced this kind of looking or not? You know, if you have been in some villages, you see some, you know, animals are
It brings that calmness. It brings that calmness. Really? Like, even if you go to the forest, for example, and you sit down, you just look at the animals available. Like, all of a sudden, you see a deer pass by you.
Exactly.
You know, you feel that, you know, calmness about it. You know, that warm feeling that you get from looking at
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Okay. Not only calmness, it's kind of beauty.
Yes,
I really,
yes,
myself, I experienced it when I was in some villages. I saw how beautiful is these cattle are passing by, and you see it, as my brother mentioned, it gives you a lot of calmness and, you know, serenity when you see this beautiful,
this verdant green sceneries with all these animals, you know, and the cattle around.
Exactly. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picture this beautiful, you know,
painting.
Location and, you know, yes, exactly. And I don't think that in any other religion or denomination, of course with due respect to all religions and denomination, you find this great emphasis on respecting them.
But Shaykh Habib, at the same time, because of lack of understanding, misunderstanding or misconceptions, the religion of Islam is accused of violating the rights of some animals, especially cattle. For example, okay, I want you to answer on that. For example, the slaughtering of the animals or camels, or how much, for example, the Muslims are flesh meat oriented, especially about these new vegetarian movements all around the world. What's your answer?
First of all, who put the rights? Who gave you the right to give the rights? That's the beginning of it.
Okay.
Are you the owner? Are you the creator of this cattle? Or is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Okay.
In our beliefs, in our view, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, so He is the owner. So He does whatever what He wants with His creation. This has been thoroughly studied in Islamic theology or Ilm al-Kalam. And reached this result. Allah created, He is the owner, He gives the rights. He chooses the rights, and He chooses whether this is a blessing for human beings, and what is the reason of its creation, and so on and so on.
Okay.
So we view that this has been created for human beings to benefit from, as the verse put forward by my brother. The meat is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as human beings, whether the vegans like it or not, or the vegetarians like it or not, meat is a very important source of intake for human beings. It cannot be replaced. Even as hard as they try to replace it, they are not very good at doing it, actually. So it's a blessing. It's a need for human beings. And the way and manner that we slaughter the animals is very human. Even in the recommendations, when you look at Kitab al-Sayd wa al-Dhibaha, the chapter or the topic or the book about hunting, catching, fishing, and you know, sacrificing the animals, slaughtering the animals, there are recommendations put forward. One of them is that the knife be super sharp. Why? So it could cut without any pain for the animal. So the animal won't feel it. Some of them condition that it be fed water and not be hungry when it's you know, when it's slaughtered or killed. And not hit it, you know, and do not remove its skin until its soul has exited its body completely. and so on and so on, from various recommendations and manners, if you want to call them, or morals, when, you know, slaughtering, when hunting the animal that you want to eat on. Even more than that, there is a prohibition mm-hmm. of hunting down without any benefit. Mm-hmm. You know, like they call it glory hunting, yes, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Where they, for example,
For your own pleasure.
Okay. That's considered to be prohibited yeah. in Islam. And even to a point where you want to travel to glory hunt, there is a ruling that you're doing safar al-ma'siyah. Mm-hmm. You're traveling in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have to pray tamam. You have to pray your four rakats.
Okay.
You cannot pray two rakats.
So in this world, some Eids, like Eid al-Adha, or I mean non-Muslims, look at the footage of slaughtering all these animals, you know, all around the world. They maybe are not aware of the main purpose behind that, isn't it?
It depends on the situation, yeah. For example, when you talk to them about, like, if they eat meat, you know, it's something normal. It's life. That mm-hmm. It is what it is. So, you know, it's the cycle of life at the end of
That's
the day.
That's right. Okay.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
And Sheikh, is it true that according to Islamic beliefs, the animals are going to be resurrected, and if their rights were violated in this world, they're going to complain about your actions as the human beings, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is He going to chastise His best creature, that is human beings, for the sake of animals in the other world?
Exactly. We have some verses of Noble Quran hinting to these points mm-hmm. that in the day of judgment or resurrection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect the animals too. Mm-hmm. And if you have been bothering the animals or causing some problems for them, for sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will account you on that. Mm-hmm. So nobody has right to, you know, cause any problem or damage okay. on the animals, or to bother them, or, you know, doing anything harmful to the animals. That's right. And we have, as I mentioned, some verses and some narrations mm-hmm. Talking about this issue. But let me add one point on your previous question.
Very good.
You know that some people, for the slaughtering animals, we have some conditions for that. Mm-hmm. It is not by some electronic ways, unfortunately.
Devices.
Yeah.
Yes, shocking.
Or devices, they shock the animals and they kill it.
Electroshock or electro-nailing or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. In Islam, for the slaughtering animals, as my brother mentioned, we have some conditions for that, mm-hmm. you know. And because of that, you know, and actually using and benefiting from the animals is necessary for the human being, for the okay. physics and for the health of human being. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, you see that some people are vegetarian, mm-hmm. maybe they don't like the animals, you know,
yes.
and because of that, maybe they are against having, against killing the animals.
Yes.
But if you look at the majority of people, they are enjoying, you know, benefiting and eating the, you know, animals.
The flesh of the animal, the halal ones.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean the halal animals. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So some of these footages we see in some of the Muslim lands and the countries, you know, isn't it israf or tabzir or something like that?
You mentioned these are. In media, unfortunately, sometimes they want to
show off, huh?
They want to show off, yeah.
Luxurious lifestyle.
They exaggerate, actually.
Yes.
They exaggerate by these, you know, pictures.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at the context of that slaughtering, you mean maybe there are crowded of people.
Yes.
They're eating from that specific animals.
Uh-huh.
Or, for example, many people that, you know, using and eating that.
Will be fed with that animal.
Exactly. That's so there's no exaggeration, I think. There is no harm for the animals. Mm-hmm. Rather, it's kind of perfection mm-hmm. for the animals when we use and we eat from their
meat. Is it? How is it? How is it possible that the animals gets perfected through being eaten, Shaykh?
You know, because what is the benefit of the animals, you know?
Uh-huh.
Animals, of course, they have a lot of, you know, benefits. One of the benefits of animals and one of the philosophy of creation of animals is to be used uh-huh. by the human being,
uh-huh.
you know?
So you mean if that human being is a perfect one, so through being eaten by a perfect one, that animal will be perfected too?
Exactly. I mean, one of the stages of that animal to become more perfected is to be used, you know, the flesh of that animal is to be used by the faithful people. And actually, it would be beneficial for the health and for the physics of all human beings.
All right. Good point. Interesting point, that's right. Okay, Sheikh, not all the Muslims around the world might be as faithful as this brother talks about, you know, on that time, you know, what they're going to do. I mean, is there any recommendation in Islam, for example, up to what extent to benefit from the animals or the plants or the environment around or not?
The Prophet ﷺ said that I eat meat and honey. Mm-hmm. So eat meat and honey. Imam Baqir alayhi salam, there's this chapter in Al-Mahasin, volume number 2, Kitab al-Ma'akil, Bab al-Lahm.
Very good.
Right? In that chapter, various sayings about the recommendation of eating meat and the importance of it and its sources and whatnot and whatnot. And, you know, it's beautifully been put that kamaluha fi akliha lil-mu'min. That its perfection, its purpose is reached, its goal is reached when a believer eats it and consumes it.
Okay.
It's circle of life. It's its purpose of life here in this world to be benefited from. And the guidelines about, for example, we're talking about animals now. Let's go a little bit more about the environment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who taught his prophets about zira'ah, about
cultivation.
Harvesting. And harvesting and whatnot. And the Imam alayhum salam would also work in that case. They would give a good attention to, for example, the food that they grow.
The gardening.
Yes. Imam Baqir alayhi salam would sell grapes because they had gardens, they had farms. A well-known saying used in Makasib, if I'm not wrong. In Makasib and Muharrama, Sheikh al-Ansari, it studied that Imam Baqir alayhi salam would sell his grapes to people. And, you know, having a clean environment is very important.
Yes.
You know, I can't emphasize this more. Because unfortunately, you know, alhamdulillah, in Iran, one of the things that I didn't see that much difference from, you know, living in the United States and living in Iran was actually how clean the environment was in Iran. You know, the streets are very clean, even to a point where my mom, who was, you know, very specific and clean in being clean, said that Iran is cleaner than America. And I've been to Mexico, I've been to Lebanon, I've been to Iraq, I've been to Oman, I've been to various countries. I have not seen, you know, that cleanness, you know, available there. And that's very unfortunate because our teachings from Islam is that we do not litter. It's our culture. We do not litter. We respect the, you know, the rights of others. And there's always, you know, running after cleaning, you know, removing the things that cause people to bash you and criticize you.
Yes.
Do not do things that make people want to say, that curse you.
Italy and Germany were the countries that were, you know, the garbages were piled up around the streets for so many months.
There's actually a study about, you know, the about garbage when we talk about it and how it was during the time where they went to Andalus, right? Like
Andalusia,
Portugal and Spain, and how clean it was during the Islamic Islamic era, and then how it changed when the Crusaders came over.
Very good.
So that's very intriguing. That's very important to shed light upon about how our teachings are about cleansing, and that's one of the many unfortunate things that we put forward when we say that Muslims don't always represent the idea of Islam, because sometimes we don't follow the true Islamic guidelines. When we follow them, we're supposed to see the illustration of them forward. Can I just remark on the question that you put forward to my brother about reincarnation of animals on the Day of Judgment? This has been thoroughly studied in Al-Iwadh and Ilm al-Kalam about reward or return in Ilm al-Kalam. And there's a high debate between them. Most of the Shias claim that there is going to be awath for the animals, so they return on the day of resurrection. And there are sayings, for example, in Al-Khisal, Sheikh al-Saduq, that there are animals that return on the Day of Judgment. And there's a saying available in Al-Kafi that the horses used during war will return with their soldiers. There's also the saying, for example, of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, a long saying where he talks about the Day of Resurrection and Day of Judgment available in Al-Kafi, where he says that even the animal with a thorn that hurts another animal with its thorn will return on the Day of Judgment to be accounted, to help be held accountable.
Exactly.
So there is this, you know, concept of, you know, them having, you know, them being available on the Day of Judgment. Kalbu Ahl al-Kahfi, the dog of Ahl al-Kahf, will enter the paradise with them. Al-Buraq will be available as well on the Day of Judgment, and so on and so on.
That's right. Okay, thank you very much. A really interesting field of study is the fiqh of environment or environmental jurisprudence, you know, most of these topics are tackled in that field of study. Some of our dear listeners might be interested in that one. In some of the houses and universities, they are taught, and there are different angles and dimensions to this topic. Thank you very much, Sheikh Habib and Sheikh Nur Muhammad, for a nice elaboration regarding how does the religion of Islam respect environment and the rights of animals. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much to your listeners for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
In the limelight.
The resignation of Aaron Haliva, the Zionist regime's military intelligence chief, is indicative of the failure of Israel's overall strategic thinking when it came to containing the Palestinian resistance in Gaza. Haliva, quitting at this time, is expected to be followed by other officials handing over their roles and accepting defeat, which could place more pressure on the war government of Israeli regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to finally conclude a prisoner swap with Hamas and to end the war, especially when combined with the large street protests that are calling for a change in strategy in order to retain the Israeli prisoners and enter new elections. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, in an admission of Israel's military failure on October 7th in the face of the Hamas-led Al-Aqsa flood operation, the Zionist regime army's intelligence chief, Aaron Haliva, has just resigned and declared that I will always carry the pain for his responsibility in the defeat. Born and raised in the occupied city of Haifa in 1967, Aaron Haliva is a military figure with a vast experience across various roles in the Zionist regime's army, which he first joined in 1985. Having been party to the Zionist regime's violent repression of the First Intifada and Second Intifada, serving in the Israeli regime military during the occupation of southern Lebanon and then playing a role in the 2006 war with Lebanon, his resume is far stretching. When When it comes to Israel's brutal military repression of the people of Gaza, Halaiva served in leadership positions with the Zionist regime's military during three of the most notable attacks committed against the besieged coastal enclave in 2008 to 2009, 2012, and 2014. However, it wasn't until 2016 that he was promoted to the rank of Major General, which would pave the way to him leading the Technological and Logistics Directorate in the General Staff of the Occupation Military. He would go on from there to lead the Operations Directorate in 2018, in which he would play a direct role in the 11-day war of May 2021, which the Zionist regime labeled Operation Guardian of the Walls. Aaron Halaiva believed that the 2021 war between the Palestinian resistance and the Zionist regime's military achieved its goal in securing a longer-term calm. His view was that, despite Hamas having established a joint room of resistance factions in order to establish a single Palestinian resistance command, and their declaration that Operation Sword of Jerusalem was a success, that it was the Israeli regime that had been the victor. This claim actually ignored the Unity Uprising, uniting Palestinians across the country, which had come in response to the Israeli regime's provocations in occupied East Al-Quds and attacks on worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque that gave the resistance group Hamas a basis to launch its initiative that began the May 2021 war. In the thinking of Aaron Halaiva, Israel's murderous assault on the Gaza Strip, combined with two other targeted operations against the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement in 2022 and early 2023, the Gaza Front had been effectively contained despite the frequent provocations at Al-Aqsa Mosque. He opted instead to push for normalization with Arab regimes like Saudi Arabia, while strengthening the security forces of the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. His thinking about the containment of Gaza's resistance, who were repeatedly threatening a wider war if Israel continued its attacks on Al-Aqsa Mosque, also transferred over to Lebanon, where he urged the Zionist regime government to allow a maritime border demarcation with Lebanon in order to secure Israeli gas extraction interest. In October 2021, Halaiva was appointed as Chief of Israel's Military Intelligence, which is where he would serve until his resignation recently. His resignation at this time came as a follow-up to an admission by a number of high-ranking Zionist military and intelligence officials that they had been responsible for a strategic failure on October 7th. The resignation of Aaron Halaiva is indicative of the failure of the Zionist regime's overall strategic thinking when it came to containing the Palestinian resistance in Gaza, living under the impression that the Palestinian people and their cause for national liberation was no longer a primary issue for them, and that they would be smarter to move on to their issues such as normalization. Halaiva quitting at this time is expected to be followed by other Zionist officials handing over the roles and accepting defeat, which could place more pressure on the war government of Israeli regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to finally conclude a prisoner swap with the resistance movement Hamas and to end the war, especially when combined with the large street protests that are calling for a change in strategy in order to return the Israeli prisoners and enter new elections.
Thank you.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, salam. Very welcome. This is a new episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you for choosing this program to listen to. In this episode, we're going to speak about the status of teachers in Islam. But first, as usual, we look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 18th of Shawwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Ordibehesht, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of April, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. In this part, we'll listen to the first verses of Chapter Al-Qalam from the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
نون والقلم وما يسطرون.
Noon, by the pen and what they inscribe.
ما أنت بنعمة ربك بمجنون.
You are not, O Muhammad, by the favor of your Lord, a madman.
وإن لك لأجرا غير ممنون.
And indeed, for you is a reward uninterrupted.
وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ.
And indeed, you are of a great moral character.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
مَا لَنَا رَبٌ سِوَىٰ.
We know that the whole life of the human being is divided into two distinct periods, the historical period and the prehistorical period. The historical period begins from the time that the invention of writing appeared on the scene and men used the pen. Therefore, from the very early beginning, Islam was founded on the basis of the pen and knowledge. And it is for this same reason that the backward people of early Islam could progress in science so much so that they succeeded in introducing and exporting new scientific findings to all over the world.
Imam As-Sadiq said, "Behave nicely with people and do not let them climb your necks. Don't make them your enemies. If you follow that, then you have obeyed Allah along with that act."
As I told you, we're going to speak about the status of teachers in Islam. Teaching is one of the most respectful and valuable professions in the world. In religion Islam, this profession has more importance as our beloved Prophet Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his family introduced himself as a teacher. According to the verse of Holy Quran, Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family were sent to teach about the Holy Quran, the wisdom and unknown things to the people of this world. As we all know that the person who teaches is a teacher, a man or woman of obedience and respect. Teachers are some of the most influential people in society and have great importance in modern society. Teachers bear the responsibility of molding students' personalities and educating them. Teachers are considered the most honored person in every religion. Due to the important role of teachers, Islam has granted high status and rights to teachers.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome. This is Ali, your host, and we shall be talking about the value and position of teacher. The position of a teacher is highly and significantly valued in Islam, to the extent that the position of a teacher is compared to that of the prophets in the speeches of many religious leaders. The term teacher in language means educator, instructor, or master, or even sheikh. And the importance of the position of a teacher, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first teacher of humanity, as stated in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah taught all names to Adam, and Allah is your teacher and teacher of all the things. In the Surah Al-Alaq, which is the beginning of the revelation of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He who taught by the pen taught man what he did not know. And in Surah Ar-Rahman we read again, The merciful who taught the Quran created man, taught him speech. The basis of human culture and knowledge is reading, writing, and speaking. And it is these three things that make humans superior to other creatures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the teacher of these in the position of reading. He taught the Quran, taught writing, and taught speech, which refers to writing and speaking. Therefore, the universe is like a school where people with different levels, personal differences, and abilities in students. So we definitely call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the teacher of all the people. In addition to being the general teacher and educator of all people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has special education, and the first and most distinguished students of this education are the prophets and great saints.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
On the continuation of today's special, using analogies and examples. This is one of the teaching strategies of Prophet Muhammad, the last Prophet of Allah. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny used to use analogies and examples to heighten their curiosity and imagination to further deepen their understanding of deen, or religion. They were also useful in simplifying and helping the listeners in understanding the concepts better. For example, The last prophet of Allah asked his companions, "If there was a river at the door of any one of you, and he took a bath in it 5 times a day, would you notice any dirt on him?" They said, "Not a trace of dirt would be left." The prophet added, "That is the example of the 5 prayers with which Allah blots out annuls evil deeds. Instead of simply relaying Allah's order and its benefits, Prophet draws similarities between praying daily and taking a bath. So by that, he used analogies and examples for teaching. Dear brothers and sisters, remembering our reason for teaching can help us re-establish our intention as teachers. The Messenger of Allah said, "Verily, deeds are only with intentions, and every person will have only what they intended." Every action we perform within the boundaries of our faith can be regarded as an act of worship. Being an educator is a noble profession with far reach beyond anything we could imagine. Let us be honest and say the driving force behind our work is not paycheck, it is our passion for education. Renew your intentions to do good at the beginning of the school year and before embarking on any task. Inshallah, you will find your reward with Allah.
Anyone who's a Muslim or who reads the Quran or goes to majalis and lectures will always hear the same thing again and again and again.
Yeah.
The stressing on gaining knowledge.
Yeah.
From the cradle to grave, go as far as China. Mm-hmm. It is the belonging of the mu'min, of the believer. There are levels a person can't reach unless they have ilm, for example. Like, yeah. Knowledge seems to be one of the central themes of the religion of Islam. It's as if this deen wants you to be a avid thinker, an independent analyzer, someone who can evaluate, and someone who, as we'll discuss, has ilm which is useful for their qalb, for their heart.
Yes.
Knowledge is not just some quality that we assign to the intellectuals and academics to go and prove to us how smart they are.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a tool to use to show off. Neither is it just a quality among other qualities. In Islam, ilm is so distinct. Mm-hmm. It is. And the one who gains knowledge and travels for knowledge and seeks knowledge and is restless until they gain knowledge.
Mm.
The Quran questions us, like, why aren't you like this? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ? Do they not think? Do they not ponder? أَفَلَا يَعْمْلُونَ? Does not have ilm? Why are they like this?
Yes.
And so many times I read somewhere that the, you know, ilm in this way, in an almost like an accusative way, or in the fi'l where you're asking about something, the amr, sorry. This comes up over 20 times where you are being asked in the Quran, do you not think? Have you not pondered on this? Have you not realized? Or Allahu ya'alamu, Allah goes, wala ta'falun, but you don't know. But God knows.
Yes.
Even to prophets, they are spoken to like this.
Yeah.
The reason why Musa, al-Nabina, goes on that journey with Khidr is because, and we don't have time to go into it right now, like, he's told frequently, you thought you knew something, you thought you had the ilm of something, but there was so much more that you didn't gain. Hatta in the Quran, our prophets are saying, Rabbi zidni ilman, Rabbi zidni ma'rifatik. God, give me knowledge, give me ma'rifat.
Dear brothers, dear sisters, thank you very much for listening to us. This is the end of the episode of this program. Today's special. Inshallah, we continue this topic that was the status of teachers. Till then, till another meeting, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Mustafa, anta nabiyul amin. وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين.
أنت النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Welcome to the Israel Watch, which continues to monitor the repercussions of the Iranian attack on the Zionist entity and its results. Threats of an attack on Rafah have garnered the attention of the Zionist media, as well as a failure of the aggression on Gaza to achieve its objectives. The prospects of reaching a prisoner exchange deal have diminished, and confrontations in the occupied West Bank have escalated. In addition to that, the sanctions that the United States intends to impose on the Nitza Yehuda Brigade. I'd like to go and welcome my guest today, Dr. Hayat Al-Hariri, a researcher in media and politics. Welcome, doctor.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you. After the Iranian attack on the Israeli entity, discussion escalated regarding what Zionist experts call the Iranian threat. This has instilled fear among Zionists, especially after Iran's success in showering the entity with hundreds of drones and missiles hitting vital targets. Well, doctor, I do want to go ahead and start off with our latest developments. Abu Abaydeh has actually just spoke, and he said that the Iranian attack has set new rules. What is your point on that?
Definitely, because the huge Iranian attack, that was actually a surprise to all the players, international players and regional players. And the attack, its symbolism, and the fact that it shows the failure of the Israeli deterrence is definitely a new phase regarding this war. And it shows more how Israel today is weak, and how it should count to whether or in case they wanted to escalate the war.
Well, as we know also today on Israel's northern front with Hezbollah was able to reach today its deepest attack, reaching actually Akka. What is the point on this? What do you think are the your opinion on this?
I think if we follow the responses of Hezbollah before the Iranian attack and after, we noticed that there is a difference in the nature of the attacks and the geography of the attacks. And this has also different reasons. One of the reasons is, you know, that Israel threatened to bomb or to attack Lebanon and in various... reaching Beirut and also Iran and so on. And we saw that this was just talks. However, Hezbollah is sending to Israeli messages that we can attack you at the heart of your cities, regardless or whether you consider attacking the deep of Lebanon. And also, we know that today there was an assassination assassination operation
yes.
In the south and also in a region that is not considered among the rules of confrontation between Hezbollah and Israel. So this is a message that we can reach you. And this is a message to show that Hezbollah has a deterrence policy and is able to respond to any threat on Lebanon.
Has Iran's attack actually caused a security dilemma, for say, in Israel in terms of how militarily to counter such attacks?
Of course. First of all, there is this Israeli arrogance that they were sure, quite sure, that Iran will never attack Israel directly. So, first of all, they miscalculated the Iranian response, and second, the amount of the missiles and the nature of this attack again shows that despite all these preparations from Israel and its allies in the region and the USA and the Britain, however, Iran succeeded to launch a strategic attack. Iran, the attack of the Iranian state, actually is so clever because it shows the weakness of the deterrence policy, and this is very crucial to Israel. And also, without causing an escalation to war, they sent their messages, and also they revealed strategic military places for Israel. And in contrast, Israel didn't knew anything about the military capabilities of Iran. That's why for all these reasons, yes, they were surprised. And they didn't expect this strategic, calculated response by Iran.
So anyone who undermines it is committing a crime against the state of Israel. What is the significance of these statements, Doctor?
This shows that today there is a big dilemma in the Israeli society. We know that the foundation of the Israeli entity is on the premise that it is a safe place, and they promised their people that they're going to be safe and they will live peacefully, and that they actually undermined their enemies, whether Hamas, whether Hezbollah, and also regarding the ability of Iran and willingness of Iran to attack. So basically, since October 7, the trust of the Israelis toward their government was shaken, and also the attack of the Iranian attack, the symbolism of this attack, the message behind this attack also was a severe blow. And actually today there is a big dilemma whether about the efficacy of all these military strategies. And we know, and they know, that without the support of the international forces, Israel would have fallen a long time ago.
Do you believe the chief of security delayed his resignation? I mean, like he said, he delayed it until today. Is it related to the internal military or the security institution conflicts between the military and the political institutions?
Yeah. Actually, we can talk about two reasons for the timing of the resignation. First of all, we know that the Israeli government is searching for someone to blame regarding
someone
failure.
Someone has to take the blame.
And also, again, yani, they miscalculated and they undermined Hamas threat because they believed that they succeeded to contain Hamas. And also, after 7 months, the Iranian attack also was another proof that these strategies of the military are failing, and that they are miscalculating everything. So basically, after the Iranian attack, the timing for such resignation is better, I think, than before, because we know that the military apparatus of the Israeli military apparatus is very complex, and we are expecting the resignations of many different security personnel.
So there's going to be more resignations expected.
Yeah, I believe so. And again, this is a way or an attempt to show that there is someone responsible for these failures. We are not talking about one failure. We are talking about October 7. We are talking about the North North with the Hezbollah.
Yes.
And also we are talking about, and this is the turning point, I believe, the Iranian attack that would change everything in this war.
Well, most Zionists don't believe that the occupation army is capable of achieving victory in Gaza. And if elections were held today, Netanyahu would fall. This was revealed by the latest opinion poll conducted within the entity. Actually, these statistics actually resembles the results of recent polls in the entity regarding the failure of the aggression on Gaza and the necessity to hold new elections. Yeah. What is your opinion on this poll?
Actually, I believe that the Israeli society is more aware than, unfortunately, the majority of the Arab world about the failure of Israel in this war. We are talking on the military level, and after 8 months, the Palestinian resistance is still capable of launching rockets against Israel. and again, as we mentioned before, the Iranian attack and Hezbollah. So basically, yes, today the Israelis are aware that this government failed to protect them. But here I want to point out that the problem in Israel is not about conducting the war, it's about how conducting the war. Yani, even the ministers and the former prime ministers, when they criticize Netanyahu, this is again one of the attempts to search for someone to blame, because for the first time in the Israeli history, Israel is weak, that till that point it's weak and is unable to prevent attacks in different places.
Well, Doctor, as you're mentioning, I mean, it's correct that most of the public in the Zionist entity is right wing, right?
Yeah, yeah. And even, I mean, personally, I don't believe that there is much difference between the right wing and the left wing. The all the factions and all the groups in Israel, they agree on the necessity of conducting a war, not only against Hamas, but also against Hezbollah in the north.
Well, also, as we know, the right wing actually, their ideology opposes the two-state solution.
Exactly. So the question today is not about the idea of the war, but about how to conduct this war through, for example, like what is happening today regarding October 7 and the aggressions of the Israeli operation, or whether we go for another option like the containments and the diplomatic proposals. But we know that all of them, they refuse not only the wing, they refuse the two-state solutions, and they refuse the idea of a Palestinian state. However, we have a group that is more diplomatic than the other group.
Well, Doctor, I do want to go and start off with Abu Abaida's latest comments that the conditions will remain, with the withdrawal. What is your point on this, or opinion?
Yeah, of course, Israel is trying to impose its own conditions regarding the exchange. And when they talk about that Hamas is refusing the negotiations, this, we know that this is not true. And Obaida today said it.
Yes, and he also mentioned about lifting the siege and about the returning the displaced.
Yeah, exactly. So today Hamas is clear. Actually, they are clear since the beginning of this war that we need a ceasefire, a complete ceasefire and lasting ceasefire, and also regarding the removal of the withdrawal of the Israeli troops, and also regarding the removal or ending the besiege of Gaza. Today, Israel is refusing all these conditions.
So why is Netanyahu actually putting the blame on Hamas?
This has been always the case. That the Israelis, we are familiar with the Israeli way of dealing with the issues. They always portray themselves as victims. They need always someone or something to blame, and they always portray themselves as I mentioned, that they are the good people, they want the peace and so on. However, the other are not. And this is also, this is a message for, or a way to try to appeal to their people inside Israel, in the Israeli society, and also to the international players like the United States and the Europe, especially after the criticism that they received throughout the previous weeks. So this is a way to appeal to them for the arming, for the support, financial support, and also in order to appear to their people for Netanyahu. I mean that he is confident and they are working for the hostages, but we know that this is not true.
Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and move over now to the Zionist social media platforms, which launched a fierce campaign against Netanyahu for his failure to eliminate the resistance in Gaza. Here are some comments.
Ronnie, you can't believe a word Netanyahu says. Avi, you are the biggest enemy of Israel. You have divided, shattered, and broken it. Ben, Hamas derives encouragement from you and your failed governance. Captain, Hamas is trending. What about Hezbollah and the circus you run in the north?
Well, Doctor, what is your opinion on this fierce campaign against Netanyahu, which is holding him responsible for all the disasters that have befallen on the Zionists since the Al-Aqsa uprising until today?
Okay, if you're talking about the Israeli settlers, the Israeli society, actually there's something that we need to acknowledge for these their society, is that they hold accountable their institution, their state institution. So today, they believe, the Israeli society believes, that Netanyahu government is extremist government, and they, after these failures, definitely they will blame the government because they failed to their promise. However, if we're talking about the politicians and the competitors of Netanyahu, again, this is one of the tools that they use in order to overthrow the government and go for to form a new one.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Hayat Al-Hariri, a researcher in media and politics, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Until next time, salam.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.